Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 118 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, and joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're about to recap some nerd news. We're going to begin with entertainment and gaming, with really the only thing that matters was PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X release and comparison. And then we'll move over into some tech news with some futuristic travel, some hacking updates, and then some space news. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and welcome back to episode 118. And, you know, this was the week that many of the nerds were waiting for. You know, we no longer camp outside for these games. thank you, COVID. I think that's the one benefit that COVID had, was not having to see the news reports of people at Best Buy sitting in tents or whatever else, like
I've been that dude.
I know
you've been that dude. I've been that dude.
You know, so what we got was really a bunch of bots buying up every PlayStation 5 and Xbox possible, except for the ones you got. So let's hear it. Let's get the comparison.
Mine were bought with bots.
That's true. True story.
Mine were bought with bots. I paid a small service fee that was worth every damn penny to ensure that I got mine on launch day. I have no shame. If you are a person that hates bots, you can hate me and I'm okay with that because I'm playing that shit. Fuck you.
I'm trying now that I talked about people sitting out and like tent camping at Best Buy to get that, you know, I'm somebody who
That's a human bot.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, I'm somebody who hates the bots just profiting on this system and just swiping out everything for the actual consumers. Not a fan of it. But I guess when you look at like it, the previous model was you literally had to lose
a day of your
12
life,
12 hours of your life, if not more, to go sit outside, oftentimes in the freezing cold.
They release in November every year. For the last 20 years, they release
Some
in November.
Some of us don't live in freezing cold.
Yeah, well, fuck you, okay?
And, you know, so, and a lot of people actually paid people to sit in those tents for them. So, those were human bots. And
the original Xbox One, my wife at the time did the 12 hours while I was at work the day before.
Yeah. I guess it kind of makes sense. And if you just value your time, anything at all, somebody who runs a bot that charges you an extra $100 to pick it up should be costing you less than you paying yourself minimum wage to go sit in that tent like an idiot.
My time in that tent was worth way more than $100. Like, let's put it like that. If I had to do all that shit over again and someone was like, look, man, give me a Benji right now and I'll live that life for you. Here is my Benjamin. I will see you tomorrow with my counsel. Like, that is a fact. Hardcore facts.
I'm still against this. And there's got to be a way for the consumers to, or the,
oh, there,
the
I
product
mean,
manufacturers I will, to protect consumers.
I will totally agree that there needs to be a fairer system. But until then, I live in reality, and I'm going to play the game, bro. Play the game.
All right. So maybe right this moment, I'm less angry with bots, but still, I don't like it. In the end, let's move on. Let's hear about it. Let's hear about, you've got both PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, so you can talk about them individually. And then let's give a comparison on initial thoughts.
So Tuesday, I picked up the Xbox, came home, set it up. Really, with the Xbox, not too much changed. So initially, when you hook it up, turn it on, boots up way faster. You know, these are the things that you knew were coming, right? With all the hardware they put into this thing, definitely boots up faster. You get to your UI faster. All your apps load pretty fast. But the UI is the same. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
There's no new UI, which you figure they have to keep if you're going to transition from Xbox One to Series X. You know, so they had rolled out the updates last week for the UI. So the UIs are basically the same. as far as apps go, the one thing that I noticed that I really enjoyed right away was that Apple TV is now an app on Xbox, which wasn't the case before. I ended up buying a fucking $40 Roku just to watch Apple TV so I could do reviews on those shows. With the Series X, now my Roku is it's going to collect dust and not do shit. So that was good. The refresh rate, you can tell. I bought Valhalla. I started playing a little bit of Valhalla. Even started playing like some Fortnite with some buddies and tested out some of the old games that I was playing. You could definitely tell the refresh rate is a lot better. Everything's way smoother. It's definitely running in true 60 FPS for all the old games. Valhalla, I only got to play a little bit of. You know, just because two consoles came out, real life didn't slow down for me at all. No one got the memo that I was going to have two new consoles and stop blowing up my phone. And you know, the kids give no shits about my new consoles. So, I mean, that was my initial kind of feeling. The controller is basically the same, just a little different. The improvements they did make, I do like. It's got a more textured like the bottom of the controller is more textured, so you doesn't feel like the controller is ever going to slip out of your hands. Greasy chip fingers, I'm guessing, you know, it'll feel a little bit better in your hands. It's got the automatic share button on it now, so no longer do you have to double tap the home button and do a whole bunch of you know, finding real quick while you're playing a game to share that thing or record it. It's got its own button now. But yeah, overall, the hardware is really where the vast improvements sit. It's a way faster machine. Everything just loads and boots up and is waiting for you right there. And I'm looking forward to the future of it. You know, you could tell that they don't have much to max out its capabilities right now. But I mean, it's launch day. It's typical. They don't want to go all in yet. You know, in another year or two, you're going to have games that were developed solely for Series X and have no Xbox One component to it whatsoever. And that's when I think we're really going to see this thing hit its stride.
Okay. What about, so then a couple days later, you got your hands on the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, so the PS5, I will admit, I skipped PS4. So as far as comparison to the previous model, I'm not going to have the best opinion on that. So just putting that out there. I did feel like since I skipped the PS4 that I should actually get this one. As far as unboxing goes, that thing's fucking huge. So like the Xbox is huge and it's heavy, but it's wide, it's bulky, it's, you know, so they don't, it doesn't take up as much vertically. It's kind of just like a big system. This fucking PlayStation, man, is gigantic. I think it stands up at like 18 inches tall at least.
I keep seeing it like your picture and other people's pictures of them side by side, and I keep thinking, damn, that thing is just tall. Either the Xbox, they made it compact, which I know they didn't. The PlayStation is just huge.
I mean, you can lay them both down on its side or stand them up. I've chosen to have them the way they were designed to go, and put them on top of my entertainment center, not in like the shelving part. I'm just drastically worried about them overheating. I had my 1X overheat once when I was playing Fallen Order, because that was all in 4K. So after like 2 hours of gaming in 4K, it was just like, calm down, bro. Like, you know, and it was in one of those, you know, cable box shelves that they have in the entertainment center. So I pulled all my systems out of that after that happened. So I'll never kind of go back. I do have it standing up. They give you, because they made it so slim, it has to have a stand. So it comes with this like circle disc that you have to screw into the bottom of it so that, you know, if you ever jump in the air in your living room, the motherfucker doesn't teeter totter over.
Yeah.
So to me, like, that's a little bit of a design flaw. You know what I mean? When you don't make your fucking, your gaming system with a strong enough base to where it's so top heavy that like during production, I'm sure somebody was just like, oh shit. Like, we keep, someone with a 5-year-old that runs by this thing is just going to tip over and fucking bust shit open. Like, so they came up with this circle disc design and have a screw built into the place or to it, so that you have to screw it into the bottom, so it gives it like an extra 3 inches on the base, so it doesn't teeter totter over. And because it's so curvy, you know, it doesn't have, you know, Xbox is just a cube. The PlayStation's really sleek and has a lot of curves to it. You have to use that base if you lay it down on its side too, because there's no flat edge to lay it down on.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. Like, I thought that was a little weird, you know. The one thing I will give them that Xbox really kind of like fell short on, Xbox is just this black kind of like textured box. You got the air vent grates at the top that have a little green underneath, so when you look at it from certain angles, you can see a little of the Xbox green. Yeah, big deal. PlayStation 5 has this dope like LED system built in, to where you turn it on and like inside those fins lights up blue when it goes to sleep. It's got that orange sleep light, turns white on occasions but it just, you know, like when you see those computer builds with like the cool lights built into them, they tapped into a little bit of consumer need for those kinds of features, you know, which I thought Xbox maybe kind of shit to bet on, you know what I mean? They could have gave us some cool green lights in those vents, or they could have did something to spruce up its gaming shelf. PlayStation definitely won that. It looks a lot cooler on when it's running up and running. The controller though is where I think they made the vast improvements. I know the hardware everybody's talked about and whatnot, but for them to stray away from the original DualShock that they've had for what now 20 years,
yeah,
you know, and finally concede that, because it does feel more like an Xbox controller. I'm not going to say that they were just like finally listening to Xbox fans, but Xbox has had the better controller now for a long time. It just fits a grown man's hands way better. And PlayStation moved towards that direction, and holding it in my hand, it's by far the best controller they've ever made, aside from the haptic feedback, and you know, they got blue lights in there and the trigger sensitivity and stuff like that. Like, that's all really cool. It's really great. But just the way it feels in your hand now is 10 times better than any PlayStation controller has ever felt. I haven't gotten to play any PS5 dedicated games yet. Like, I'm gonna download Miles Morales. I went straight back to the God of War franchise. I haven't played it in a long time. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna play through one. I'm gonna go 1 through 4 all the way through. Like, so I just I went right back to God of War 1 and just started smashing buttons. I did find that the button sensitivity, the how hard you have to smash the buttons, because like God of War is just a crazy button smasher. Like, it, you hit that boss and you gotta spam the circle button.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't do it without grabbing my twisting my controller around and getting like a good grip on it. Like, I don't know if it's my old ass and my arthritic thumbs, or if it was the fact that, like, yeah, it's a lot. You have to put a lot more pounds of pressure into pushing down these buttons and whatnot. But overall, like, I think it was a great launch. I haven't found anything wrong with my PlayStation yet. Again, I haven't gotten to play it as much as some of these other people with tons of free time. But the Xbox, the controller that shipped with my Xbox, the directional pad on the up button on the directional pad has no, it doesn't like go down. So like you can feel your controller go down a half inch. When you hit the down button, you can feel all those things. When I hit the up, it doesn't go down at all, and you have to really like smash it to register.
So yeah, it sounds like you had a defective controller there. So hopefully that's a unique thing for you and not.
That's what I'm assuming, that it's not something that's going to be, you're not going to see an article written on it, but it is, you know, something that happened to me. I'm sure that there are other minor bugs and glitches that have happened to other people. All the articles that got shared about the overheating and the stuff, like,
fake.
I know. And it's really frustrating, because does the world just want to see these things
The world just wants to see nobody happy. Like, that's really what it comes down to, is nothing can just be left alone to just bring people joy. This is 2020. There has always got to be somebody playing a downside.
You know, and like that's the thing that's kind of really frustrating. You have two systems launch in the same week. This was a great week for gamers. And instead of just like letting millions of people be happy and enjoy these things, you have everybody spamming these articles, and then you just see in the comments from all the haters that couldn't get one, see, this is why I don't buy day one shit. No, you don't buy day one shit because your fucking lazy ass couldn't get up and get a goddamn Xbox. Like, you didn't do that out of fucking choice, pal. Like, you may be telling yourself that. That's what you may want everybody to think, that you're some elitist that waits for the consoles to get the bugs out. But if somebody had a fucking PS5 out, if you won that motherfucker from Taco Bell, you'd be playing that bitch right now. You know, so let's get fucking real here. Like, so it's just, yeah, it's frustrating to see everybody want to see these things fail. I mean, no one's going to click an article that says gamers are elated at, you know,
yeah,
new consoles
meets
launching.
All expectations. You
know, like, no one's going to click that article. I get it.
No, but blow some vape smoke into your Xbox and share that image.
And then what kind of asshole is like willing to risk their new $500 system to get clicks? You know, like, I hate this world.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll hear more. Yeah, especially as, like you said, the vast majority of, you know, the dedicated games aren't out yet. Even the ones that I know, like, you probably would have bought if the Halo actually launched with Xbox.
Oh, I'd have been playing the shit out of Halo. Yeah, you know,
there's games that are going to be coming that are going to have that mass appeal, but they just didn't make it with the launch. And either way, it seems that successful launch. I haven't heard very many, like, real people that I know giving complaints about either of these systems. So, hey, if somebody spent $500 and they walk away from it thinking money well spent, that's a win.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame anybody for possibly waiting, though, either. If you're just like, look, it's a lot of money, I just don't have it right now, I wasn't going to rush to get this thing. Honestly, I don't blame you. You know what I mean? There's not much, unless you're like an uber gamer, that you're really missing out on right now. You know, do you need the extra 30 FPS? No, you don't need it. It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Like, I like it, you know, but is your gaming life lacking because you don't have these new systems? No, but in the next year you will be, you know, as some of these games roll out that weren't designed with the PS4 or the Xbox One in mind, you will be missing out on content and you will lag behind your gamer friends.
All true. I'll still lag behind for probably a while. But yeah, it really just comes down to how much time you spend on gaming. And if this is your outlet, this is what you enjoy doing, it seems to be worth the money. Very few people dissatisfied here.
Yeah, just join us in the Nerd Cantina community at the nerdcantina.com/community. Drop your opinions on Xbox, PlayStation. Everybody's talking about it. Come in and join us and let us know your experiences and what you think.
All right, well, let's move on to some other things going on in the world.
Other things happened?
Yeah, some other things. And I guess one thing before we jump out of entertainment, because really this was all we were going to talk about, but I just want to make sure that we address, as we recently shit on Tom Cruise for a while. I think it's something I enjoy us doing. And Kate Winslet beat, apparently there was a record that Tom Cruise had under one of his Mission Impossible movies, the Rogue Nation one, where he set a record for filming underwater for 6 minutes, holding his breath for 6 minutes of filming underwater, which is impressive. And then Kate Winslet, as a part of this Avatar weird filming that they're doing,
hold my fucking beer, Tom.
Yeah, just goes and crushes him with a 7-minute and 14-second single breath shot of filming under the water. And that, like, no, big applause on that. Like that is no small feat.
So yeah, it is quite cool. It is pretty crazy feat. I listened to David Blaine talk to Rogan about how he was able to hold his breath underwater, and there's training you can do.
Yeah,
you know, like it's not like this is something that you're just born with, or you know, or you're fucked. I'm always hesitant to really give them the full props because it's your job. Like it's your job. Like somebody literally paid you to figure out how to do this. So now if you tell me like all these body transformations people go through and everything like that, yes, they're hard. It's challenging. I get that aspect of it. But if you paid me $5 million to shut my entire fucking life down and get shredded with a personal fucking trainer and a personal fucking dietitian, I can fucking do it too, okay? Like, I'm not that fucking impressed.
Really? You're gonna play this guy? All right.
Yeah, I'm going to play that. I'm that dude. I'm that dude that says, yes, that's really cool, but you give me $5 million in 6 months, I'm the arrogant asshole that tells you I can fucking do it too.
This is still, it's still an impressive physical feat. I really don't care that she's getting paid to do it. She's also done it in a way that nobody else has in movies before. So, whatever. And she beat Tom Cruise. And you know he's over there talking to his agent right now, saying, like, all right, you need to go get me a script for Waterworld 2. Or yeah,
he's pitching for the next Aquaman. He wants to be the villain in the next Aquaman movie.
Right now, he is trying to figure out how he is going to go film for 7.5 minutes underwater.
Yeah, no, I give it up to the lady. Like it is hard to do. She definitely had to dedicate herself and whatnot, you know, but I just, it loses a little bit of it because you didn't do it out of a personal challenge that you said to yourself. So like, you know, when I ran a marathon, or pretty much when anybody runs a marathon, except for your crazy ass, you just do it because you want to challenge yourself, and you set a goal and you go out and you attain that goal and you achieve that goal and you get that sense of gratification because you did it out of just the sheer trying to do it, you know, to the accomplishment of it all. If I paid somebody $1 million to run a marathon, does that really put them in the same category as that 60-year-old lady that said, I just want to do this before I die and ran the same marathon? No, it doesn't. I'm giving it up to grandma. I'm giving it up to grandma who ran it. I'm not giving it up to you. Like you didn't do it out of some altruistic, you know, reasoning that just, you know, is motivational. It's a cool story to tell other people to be motivated to do things in their life. Like you get nothing out of it. There's no moral, you know, there's no learning involved in it. It's like, oh, Kate Winslet did it. What inspired you to do this? $5 million fucking dollars, motherfucker. That's what inspired me. $5 million.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't a clause in her contract to do this. But either way, I mean, yes, of course. What you're saying is true. You know, you see like the body transformations where, you know, somebody gets really fat for a role or really skinny for a role, and every
the fat ones, like, you get no credit whatsoever.
I don't care.
You know, like fucking Christian Bale gets no fucking pat on the back for me for playing Dick Cheney in that movie. You just had to get fat as fuck over 4 fucking months. Like that's I don't feel bad for you.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, I get it. I'm not trying to praise all actors here, but I don't know. I guess, got you, Tom Cruise. That's all I really wanted to do. you derailed that for me. You stole some from me. All right, let's get out of entertainment then and move over to tech. And I guess some of the first, we'll just talk about some futuristic travel, modes of travel. We've got two updates. First one I'll just talk about is this futuristic aircraft, the Flying V. And I mean, I'm not talking about Mighty Ducks here, which is the greatest the greatest Flying V that ever existed. But
Emilio!
But have you seen this plane? So it's a... It literally is just a Flying V. All of the cargo area and the windows for the passengers and everything else are in the wings. It's this incredibly like long, sleek looking plane. It absolutely looks like the future. And it had its maiden voyage, its first flight this last week. And yeah, it's coming out of, I think, the Netherlands. Really interesting looking plane that's supposed to be just 20% more efficient. So essentially it has the same cargo capacity as a standard plane of a similar size, but uses about 20% less fuel.
Yeah, I mean, all these numbers are great, you know, as we want to try to move away from fossil fuels and we roll out electric cars and trucks and things like that. People still don't realize how much fossil fuels we burn flying just planes.
Oh yeah.
Like the amount of fossil fuels we go through just to keep these things in the air is staggering. So you get a plane like this, looking to cut 20% off that, that's a great, great thing. Just looking at this thing though, you getting on it? I don't know, man. I like I pull up to the tarmac and I get to my gate. And then that thing rolls up and they hook the little tube up to that door. I don't know, man.
Yeah, give it a couple of years for me. yeah, give it a couple flights.
I'm no aerospace engineer, but that thing don't look like it can fly.
I mean, it looks like a paper airplane.
I know.
It looks like it could glide. No, yeah, it's an absolutely crazy design. If you haven't seen it, it's called the Flying V. You should Google it. And hopefully you come up with 10 images of Emilio Estevez before you come up with this. But
the fat crackhead goalie.
But or you can go to our show notes over at thenerdcantina.com/show118 and a link will be there. But it's a really, really interesting design. And I don't know, maybe it's somebody's future for air travel. In the end, it would cost way more money to replace existing planes with that. But I'm sure there's going to be some of them getting purchased by various airlines.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, if it uses that less fuel, you would hope maybe a few countries might subsidize the purchase of these just to get them rolled out and show the viability. I mean, they say it flies. I'm gonna believe them. I'm gonna believe the eggheads. Yeah, I'd like to see it first. Before we get out of flight, I know this story wasn't on the outline, but I'm kind of looking at the little blurb headline right now. Have you seen that? You know the skydiver flight suits, that the squirrel suits.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Have you seen that they strap some turbines to one of these fuckers now, and people are flying around?
I have. I didn't pull up any information, but I did see a headline also somewhere along the way.
Is this the Iron Man dude we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks? Like, was BMW test flying their automated squirrel suit? Like,
I mean, it's possible. I don't know. Yeah, these people are all nuts. And they were at, what, like 6,000 feet when the airlines reported them. So, I mean, I guess you can get to... It says that, I'm trying to look at the article now, and I think it's saying that they can theoretically fly these things at 10,000 feet.
Yeah, at 300 kilometers an hour. Like, I know the metric system from other lifelong reasons, but that's fast as shit.
Yeah. This might be it.
And you know BMW can't take credit for it, because if they're illegally flying in FAA, you know, flight zones to test this thing or whatever, they're not going to be like, oh yeah, that was us, sorry about it. Like, it works now, we're going to roll it out, but that was us. They're just going to keep their mouth shut on it. Yeah. But the fact that we've had this story for like 2 months that this flying Iron Man was seen, you know, and now all of a sudden we get this story that BMW has their first electrified wingsuit. I don't know, man. It's a big coincidence.
Well, I'll see if in the future we can find out more about that. See if it's being like made for consumers or, you know, I don't know. I don't know much about it.
Man, I went and saw The Rocketeer with Grandma back in the day, bro. This is just like, I got all these Rocketeer feels.
All the Rocketeer had to do was put on a squirrel suit, and then he would have been in way better control.
And the helmet with the fin so he didn't crash.
Yeah. All right. Futuristic travel continues. And we've got the Virgin Hyperloop completed.
Formerly the Tesla Hyperloop.
It completes its first ride with actual humans on it. And I think it says it reached speeds as high as 600 miles per hour on this vacuum tube train.
So this is what I don't understand, though. They only have 400 meters of track. Now, 400 meters might sound long, but from gym class, I know 400 meters is just the track outside the high school stretched into one long road, right? Now, I've never seen one stretched out into a long road, but I've ran them. That's not that fucking far.
No, 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 it's not.
How
especially go from 0 to 600 miles per hour.
And I know they didn't hit 600 during their test, but what kind of like what kind of speed did you actually hit in 400 meters at all?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I guess it's a cool continued test. I guess there's, you know, a need for faster ground based travel.
500 meters. It hit 100 miles per hour at 500 meters.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the necessary future of building these weird tunnels are going to be. It's a cool concept. I don't ever see these things like being done, but the amount of money and the infrastructure needed to build these ridiculous tunnels. I can see
a benefit of it though, especially for like a LA to Vegas Hyperloop, a St. Louis to Chicago, something, you know. I don't think we're going to be crossing the nation with these things, but you do have some major cities that have a lot of planes flying back and forth to these cities, you know, short distances with flights per day. You have to figure out. I see this being a viable mode of transportation. I do find it funny that Tesla sold it to Virgin. You know, like did Elon just get bored with something for once? Like, did he just... This is like, to me, him just like, yeah, his brain wandering off to the next thing. And it was like, but Elon, you can't start this next pace project. We got to finish this loop. Ah, fuck it, sell it. Like, just sell it. And then so you got two separate things.
I thought Tesla was still working their piece. I thought the Boring Company still was working a Hyperloop. This is just Virgin's version of it.
Nope. They bought it from Tesla.
All right.
You know, so it's still the same project that Elon did. It's still the same hole that the Boring Company that drilled. But at some point, Elon got unfocused on something and reached out to his crazy rich eccentric mentor Richard Branson and said, "Hey, buddy, you want this long ass tube I've been building?"
I always looked at these two separate things because the Hyperloop that Boring Company was developing was for autonomous vehicles. It was just essentially a track for you to drive your autonomous vehicle to drive itself through and cut through the city at safe speeds and whatever else. And this is using a magnetic rail system to do a rapid train. And I thought they were two completely different companies, two completely different systems here. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're wrong. I don't know yet.
The article that we are linking doesn't necessarily say it, but the news article I watched said it the other week because they announced this. They announced this on our local news, and that's where I heard that Virgin bought it from Elon.
All right. Well, somebody can correct us in the world. Tell us to join us over at the community and let us know. But all right, we can move out of transportation here and just talk about a little bit of news real quickly in the hacking world. This one's just crazy. We talk very much about like all these ransomware attacks that are targeting companies, and this isn't any new attack that we're talking about or exposure, but it's just a really ballsy approach from individual hackers. And there was a ransomware group that, while waiting for their ransom to get paid, this ransomware group started taking out targeted Facebook ads, targeting the employees of that company, telling them, "Hey, just a reminder, you guys still owe us money if you don't want your data and everything else released," which is just such a ballsy approach.
I know, man. Like, I don't like where this is going. Like, because right now it's all about major corporations, you know, but...
Yeah, this was just a wine. I think it was a wine company that was hacked, didn't pay the ransom, and then they used the Facebook algorithms to identify employees of that company, and then hacked into somebody else's account, advertising account, and then using their advertising account, started sending them targeted ads saying, pay your ransom or else.
Well, like I you know, this happens to companies and it happens to celebrities because they have huge payouts. But eventually this is going to trickle down into just everyday motherfuckers. And, you know, instead of Brazilian people kidnapping your kids and asking for a ransom, they're taking your dick pics and threatening to send them to your kids if you don't pay an even smaller ransom. You know, I just hate the way this is going. It doesn't seem like we're able to keep up with this stuff at all.
No, yeah, this is like the new insurable thing that everybody's going to be paying some level of like ransomware insurance. Every company's going to need it because everybody's going to be at risk.
Yeah, so to any of our young listeners out there, just be wary of what you put on the internet, because even if you think it's in a private message, somebody somewhere is going to hack that motherfucker one day, and you don't want to have to pay 5Gs to some random hacker to keep it to keep it private.
Yeah. Do you know a Chris Hodson?
No. DJ,
yeah, okay. It's just one in your industry days. That's whose advertisement account, which is a Chicago DJ, Chris Hodson. That's who they used to use his account to buy Facebook ads, or actually made him buy Facebook ads through his account to send it to this company.
Now I'm intrigued. Now I'm going to ask a few people.
So this is just such a, like, absolutely wild story that just ties in so many things. The problem and prevalence of ransomware, the hacking, and the lack of, like, Chris Hodson even said that he had two-factor authentication tied to his Facebook advertising account, so he didn't even know how they got into his advertising account. They broke his two-factor authentication, and then they used Facebook ads, which, why you and Facebook could directly target an employee of a company. Why is that information that you could, you know what I mean? Like, why are you able to
some random Chicago DJ can target, you know,
employees of a wine company? Like, you know what I mean? Like, the amount of data that Facebook has to advertisers that you could just go and specifically do something like this.
Because,
like,
you got to target those people for your fire ass mixtape, yo. I'm dropping that heat. It's lit on my SoundCloud. I got to let everybody at this wine company know.
There is nothing in this story that is not alarming to me. So that's, I guess, take it for what it is here. Tech is a scary place. And, you know, this can just transition over to our next story, which was, you know, talk about how Chris Hodson has had his two-factor authentication broken. Microsoft this week has urged people to avoid using, like, cell phone text-based multi-factor authentication. And this headline has been picked up by everybody about, hey, avoid using text two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication. Microsoft has just stated that it's not secure because cell phones, text messages aren't encrypted. They can be, you know, SIM card hacking or SIM card cloning can actually get to your text messages if they really needed to. And yes, that's all true. But before people just go turning off their two-factor authentication, in this exact same thing that Microsoft put out, they stated that all two-factor authentication has stopped 99.8% of all hacking attempts. So, like, it's still incredibly effective. It would require you to have such a juicy target as somebody to be hacked that not only did somebody, you know, buy your password on the internet, but they also went through the effort to clone your SIM card. Like, it's still... For the average consumer, nobody cares about your fucking pictures or your bank account that much.
Yeah, you work for some crazy secret tech company or something like that that's developing stuff that you can't let anybody know about. Yeah, maybe you pay attention to the story. Brenda, you're fine.
But the Microsoft is urging people to change from text and, like, voice-based, where they can call you and give you a code, to change from those to an app-based two-factor authentication. There's a couple different companies and apps that are now being options for a lot of, if you do two-factor authentication, they'll ask you if you have one of these apps that they can authenticate you through. So it's recommending those are more secure. But in the end, like, just turn on two-factor authentication. And if all you've got is a text message, it is still 99.8% effective against preventing current hacking attempts. So just turn on two-factor authentication. Don't read this headline of Microsoft saying to stop doing it as that it is a threat in itself. It is not. All right, and then we can move over out of that hacking kind of segment there and just talk about, I guess, some future of video and entertainment and hearing. We there was a new device that was tested, and they're talking about being available for like holiday season 2021, so pretty close to like consumer available, of a audio device that has no headphones, no nothing, that could just beam the audio directly into your ear holes without anybody else hearing the sound.
This ain't good, man.
I there's no way to like hear about this technology and just think that it's absolutely just going to be misused. Like,
people are going to be gaslighting the shit out of everyone with this thing. Like, God, is that you?
Oh, God. Oh, that's, I mean, I was thinking more of like, you know, you're just going to walk down the street and you're just going to hear ads just pumped directly into your head as they're just, you know, focusing and targeting it at your ear holes. But yeah, you could also just go to
randos.
Go to randos. go to the nursing home where grandma and grandpa still don't even understand Bluetooth. They won't be able to wrap their heads around why.
Go to the light, Brenda. Yeah. Go to the light.
There's definitely going to be significant misuse in the way this is going, but it's, I guess, interesting in the sense that they can use certain frequencies to have it be actual like stereo quality sound that you receive, but it won't be picked up just ambiently outside of your ear. So it essentially is just beamed directly into your ear. You can hear it clearly.
I'm just going to start blasting no Baby Shark into everyone's dome.
Yeah, it's
we talked about this with Neuralink. You know, Neuralink's going to be able to do this, but at least there's like some sort of like connection piece that you control, you know.
Like, if this is just targeted sound waves at a frequency that you just can't hear outside of your canal, then yeah, it's like, well, that means anybody can target anybody. Like, you don't need to have a receiver for this. You just need to have ears for this. Yeah. So that means with enough power, you could just beam this at anybody directly. And the technology will follow you as you move slightly. You can't do like big movements. You can't like turn your head completely right now, because then you would break the direct link. There's still like some things to be worked out. But again, as far as consumer wise, they're looking at 2021 by holiday season next year that people can actually buy headphones like this, or buy, I don't know what the hell it's going to be called. I don't know what it's going to look like, but you could buy devices that'll do this for you.
You give it to me, I'm Rick rolling the shit out of everybody. I'm going to Rick roll the shit out of everybody.
And not loudly, just like real faintly, so people don't even know if they're hearing it, or if it's just or if it's just them in the back of their head just, never going to give you up, never going to let you die.
They don't know why they started singing it. Like, they're just walking around the grocery store, never going to give you up. Like, well, why do I have this song stuck in my head? Because of me, motherfuckers. Because of me.
All right. And then the other one is, hey, Samsung unveiled a new holograph capability. You know, this is the thing of sci-fi, that every sci-fi just refuses to put on screens on sci-fi. Like, you know, there's always the holograms. There's always the holographic video players and computer screens that you just
It's not true, because right, Star Wars is still stuck in 1970s screen technology. So I love
that they have holographic video And they also have 8-bit
targeting systems and all the X-Wings.
Controlling their billion-dollar aircraft.
Like, they're just stuck with that because time continuity, like, you can't ever upgrade it. Like, they're going to have to create a whole new series distant in the future from the Skywalker saga to upgrade any of those screens.
A futuristic Elon Musk that's going to put Cuphead big TV screens in the Razor.
Lightsabers and holographs, but then you get in an X-Wing and it looks like that handheld fucking video game from 1988
and that motherfucker. Oh, I do like that they even kept that during like the Rogue Nation or the Rogue Squadrons.
Yeah, all of it. All of it. Like they're stuck. They're handcuffed to that fucking shitty ass targeting system from forever. Forever. I love it.
Yeah, so Samsung made some updates to holographs, and as you would expect, the video still looks like shit. It's not clear. It's not something you would ever really want to watch. And it doesn't have a screen, but it still requires like deflector mirrors and all kinds of other stuff. So there's definitely no R2-D2 just rolling up to you and playing you a holographic message yet. But I don't know. I guess it's kind of cool.
We're on our way.
Yeah. Somebody's getting paid to do this. Good for you.
Where's our fucking hoverboard story? That's what I want to know. We get all this movie tech.
You just got Jetpack Man today.
Yeah. Kind of.
All right. And I don't know. We could just move on, finish up with a little bit of space talk here. And SpaceX yesterday, at the time that we're recording this, it was yesterday, launched, this is the next big step between SpaceX and NASA, launching a 4-person crew out to the ISS.
Yeah, again, cool. We're getting back into space. SpaceX is proving all their concepts to be true. They have a lot of ambitious goals coming up for the future, and we're inching towards them.
Yeah, and this is the first real NASA mission in the sense of having like actually bringing in the NASA scientists, astronauts to the ISS. The last ones were they were just the test pilots that essentially just flew there and just stole oxygen and food from the ISS. They didn't really provide any scientific contribution while there, but they tested the Crew Dragon, and now we're getting the actual 4-person team that's going to reside out on the ISS for a period of time and contribute to the scientific mission there.
Yeah, I'm all for this. I love everything that SpaceX is doing. I saw on a group that I'm in on Facebook, somebody recently put up that they got a beta code for the Starlink.
Oh, okay.
So they it's almost sad that all this stuff had to be privatized for us to be advanced this way. But I mean, it is what it is. We're back in outer space. We're doing cool things. I'm enjoying it.
And the information coming out of the Starlink beta is interesting. I think I saw that in like colder temperatures, and so in the more northern areas that they're testing right now, with colder temperatures, they were getting speeds up to like 175 megabytes per second. Which, like, hey, for satellite internet, no wires, no nothing can be accessed anywhere that has access to the sky. I mean, that's good. That's solid work there.
I want to say, dude, put up to get the infrastructure pieces that he would need to receive the data was going to cost him like $800, though.
Oh yeah, so this beta is not free. Like people doing this beta are they still have to buy they still have to buy the receivers, and they're actually still paying monthly. Starlink did not. This is I guess the power of Elon, that people just want to be a part of it, even to the point that they're willing to pay for the privilege of testing it. This is spotty internet from Starlink, or potentially spotty internet. For most of what I'm hearing, it's actually
Xbox would have let me bought a Series X 3 months ago to test ride it and everything. They're like, yeah, you could buy it now. You got to pay for it. But if you want it early to do some beta testing for us, like, you could buy it now. I'd have bought that motherfucker for sure.
Yeah. I just think that the vast majority of people buying this already have internet. They're just doing it just because they want to test it. But it's not like they're getting.
Oh, for sure. I got 400 or something. Yeah, new. I was downloading at 500 megabytes per second the other day on my Series X. I'd still sign up for Starlink right now if I could.
All right. Well, and then you know, I guess the last bit of space news was, I guess they found a new planet. It's planet K2-141b, in case you wanted to go ahead and look it up. But it is some scorching hot hell planet. It's being deemed as its exoplanet is like the most extreme thing ever discovered. That it is just like this lava planet that just rains down molten lava. And
how do you not name
rock.
It Mordor? How do you not name it Mordor?
Somebody was going to probably name it something like that, but right now it's just got its scientific cataloging number. But yeah, somebody's got to name it Mordor. Somebody's got to step up, and I don't know how you do this. I think it's
whoever discovered it. It's got the right, like, that's, you get to name it.
I don't know. I mean, that's what they say in like movies. I don't know if that's true.
In the K2-141b is the scientific name, but we need a dope name for the you know, a lava planet that rains rocks. Like, fuck yeah. that's the most metal thing I've ever heard. Like, how do you just not name that planet like Metallica? You know, like, just step
Boo,
your fucking
Metallica.
Step your
Mordor
game
is
up.
Better. We can go Mordor.
Mordor is better, but I'm sure there's a bunch of like fucking Megadeth fans that would love to just claim it and make it Megadeth's home planet.
Well, but it's out there. So, and that's what we've got in tech news and weekly news here.
Yeah, big week for gaming. Everything else kind of took a back seat this week, but hey, it happens.
And we'll bring you some more next week as we'll recap the news. So just make sure you hit any like and subscribe button so that way you get notified when we release the next episode, and it helps us to bring greater people to our audience here. Those likes and shares and subscribes mean something. So take the time and do so. It's greatly appreciated.
Yeah, we enjoy bringing the show and the news to you guys every week. Takes a decent amount of work and time out of our weekly schedule. So if you could just take 10 seconds to hit that subscribe, like, and share button, it's greatly appreciated.
All right. Well, with all that said, it's a week in news, and talk to you again next week, nerds.
See you next week.